Alright, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in absolutely anything, anywhere of all time. I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick. Kara,
hey.
How are you doing today?
You know, that's classified, right?
It's classified, alright.
Yeah, it was in the UFO report, but, you know, only Congress got to see that information, so.
Right. It was just two words. All it said is, she's here.
No, it said she's fine, and it was under its own heading, and it was just like heading J-11-2345 or whatever, and
right.
Then Congress was like, hey, what does this mean? And they were like, if you don't know, then you're not supposed to know.
Yeah, but then Rand Paul hopped up and said, yeah, but does she have any news today?
Yeah, well, I got a little bit. So I want to talk about a study that isn't new. It came out last year, but I didn't hear about it because, you know, how often do you hear about a random study? But it basically showed that people who believe in conspiracies are, regardless of level of intelligence, less likely to do well on apolitical laboratory tests of specific skills like ability to identify reasons and assumptions, ability to identify flawed or deceptive arguments, ability to think of alternate explanations for a thing, and ability to identify what is being said. So they did this by having them basically respond to a series of persuasive essays on non-political topics that contained either flawed or good arguments, and asking the readers to basically respond and see, you know, what, if anything, is wrong with what they're being presented with, right?
Right.
So, what's interesting is that they also asked the participants to self-report their critical thinking ability, and generally the conspiracy theorists actually rated their own critical thinking ability as higher, despite, they specifically think that they are unusually good at critical thinking when in fact they are empirically worse at it than average. None of this is surprising. I think this is kind of what we assume, but it's interesting to actually have, like, the data on that.
Now, I'm not a particularly good critical thinker.
Yeah, me either, really.
My guess would be that a lot of these people are going to disagree with these findings. You know?
That's possible. I don't know, though. I think the study, you know, it had a large sample size, and all the methods, you know, the questions they were asked and stuff, because I dug into this, because I'm always saying, you know, you don't trust the findings of one study, because, you know, sometimes you see a study and it's like, well, it was 20 people, right? Or the people were all self-selected from, like, this college class or whatever, which is, you know, a super different sample than the normal population size. I don't know. I looked at all the stuff in this study, and it seems like these findings are probably pretty legit. I would like to see it replicated, of course.
I'm curious how they get to these results, but I mean, I gotta say, it's like, it
well,
makes
I,
sense.
I
it's
you.
One of those factoids that you just told me, and I'm all, yeah, that seems legit. You know.
Yeah. So basically,
I mean, does that mean I'm not critical thinking? The article on critical thinking.
Exactly. Well, you know, critical thinking skills, you know, we're talking specifically about the skills to identify, like, flaws in the logic of what we're being told, right?
Right.
To identify irrelevant information, to, you know, think of different alternative explanations other than the explanation we're being given. That stuff is pretty hard to do, and a lot of times, you know, that isn't necessarily, like, the focus of schooling, right?
Right.
Even though it could be, even though these skills actually, they can be taught, and teaching like 10 to 12 year olds these skills is actually associated with just having much better skills in this regard for your entire life.
Right.
And also, again, this isn't intelligence, because, like, you know, these people had a range of intelligence, and it was the same as anyone else, but it's like...
No, I get it. We're not calling people stupid here. We're saying that...
Right.
That they're not flagging.
They don't have that specific skill. Like, you might
right.
be intelligent, but can you build a birdhouse? Do you have
right.
that skill? You know, and this is just a different skill.
I think that's where this really gets scary.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've had conversations in the past, and I'm not calling everybody who can't figure out some critical thinking some kind of David Duke Nazi, but, But we've had these conversations in the past, like in our Nazi talk, where I'm just all like, yeah, but aren't they all kind of stupid? And then we were talking about how there are some smart Nazis out there.
No,
that's where these people are coming from. That's where these smart Nazis are coming from.
Right, because it's not about general intelligence. It's about...
We got to close up this tube of smart Nazis.
Right. Well, I think what this really shows is, you know, we need to be teaching these skills, which is, to be fair, also something that conspiracy theorists say a lot, which is kind of ironic. Like, we need to be teaching kids critical thinking. And I don't think they know what critical thinking means, but, like, that it refers to these specific skills. But, like, yeah, I agree with that. We do need to be teaching people critical thinking, and we need to be teaching people media literacy, and, you know, we need to be...
Well, I'm guessing there's
how
two...
to assess the stuff they're hit with. English classes do that a little. I had a very good English class in high school that, you know, the guy was like a philosophy major, I think, before he became like an English professor, and he put a lot of that stuff, like identifying logical fallacies, all that kind of thing. Like, we had an assignment where every week we had to find like news articles and respond to them. So that was
okay. Great. I get that for this specific problem, but I think this is kind of one of those areas where society is falling short. Like, you know, how people say in order to fight off, Alzheimer's, you know, do crosswords, do stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I read an article and they were finding that the thing that staves off that the most is doing activities like running.
Right, yeah.
Because it's what your brain was built to do. You're jogging, you're tracking, you're doing these things. And so while I do think teaching in an English class how to do this, I think it would be better taught, like I taught my kids this, or I would like to think I did, through challenging them on their thoughts and not squashing them when they tried to come up with answers.
Right.
That's one way. I think another way to do this is through survival skills, through learning general survival skills. If I had kindly taught my kids how to use the bank better, I think that would have added to this wealth of knowledge. So it's like, this isn't one of those things that I don't think we should even turn to the education system to fix it. I think we got to look at the parents and the people around and say, like, and if you feel that you don't have this, there were a lot of times that I chased down a tutor, you know. I mean, by the time my kid was in seventh grade, I couldn't help her with math. I'm just like, I can't help with this, you know. So I had to accept that I was a dumbass when it came to math and that I had to go get her a tutor, you know. And there are these places in parents that you're going to have to accept that you're a dumbass and go get a tutor. I don't
know. Yeah.
Does this make sense? I don't think it's fair to put this in the school system, I guess.
Well, I kind of get that, but I think the reason – you know, some people have bad parents. So do they just get to have, you know, do they get to grow up to be conspiracy theorists? Like, sorry, dude, you're out of luck. You had bad parents.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's good to try and find a way to get this sort of stuff to everyone because it's so important.
Yeah. I didn't mean to imply that it should be not in schools at all.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think if people really want to fix it, it's going to have to be.
It also can't self-growing right, yeah, and I agree, and there's also the stuff like, you know, I learned algebra in schools, I don't know algebra today, and honestly I think it's kind of a stretch to say that I learned algebra in schools. I passed my algebra classes. You don't necessarily need to learn the subject to do that, right?
And I learned people, what algebra is,
and a lot of people didn't do that, right? So like, just because you teach something in schools doesn't... There are bad students. I would wager to say, you know, on average, most people were kind of mediocre students in school. Like, that's not a mark of judgment or anything. Just our school system in general is very hard for a lot of people. So it's like, if you teach something in school, I think that's a very good way to reach, like, the nerds. Like, people like me and my friends who did very well in school, often, frankly, because we had, you know, good home lives that sort of, you know, did that, or we were just, you know, wired that way.
And I definitely had a good home life of education and challenging thought and art. You know, I understand that I had
lots of different factors, right?
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland. But here's some parenting advice for people out there. My daughter, Harley, around sixth grade, fifth grade, her grades were just doing fine. Mm-hmm. But just fine. She was floating. C and B floating. And we just couldn't seem to get her to care. She wanted to go to class. She wanted to be a part of everything. She kind of did everything all flippantly. She didn't really care. She just kind of wanted to hang out and be a part of everything. But she didn't care about being the best or getting the greatest. Even playing softball, she was just all, she'd like hit the ball and then run to the thing. And she's like having a great time. And everybody's all, run! You know, everybody's all serious on her team. But she's just...
Honestly, that doesn't sound so bad. I know a lot of A students who are today nervous wrecks, you know, myself included.
Well, it's one of her best qualities, is that she's so lighthearted and fun.
Yeah.
So in order to combat this without ruining this...
Yeah.
I decided to send her to a harder school. Well, her mom and my wife and I'm not taking all the credit for it. We as a collective parenting group decided to send her to a more difficult school. So if she's going to float, she might as well float at a higher level.
Makes sense. Now,
you know, next year she's hoping to transfer into Texas A&M. So
yeah, it's awesome.
You know, hopefully it worked out, you know. But you got to challenge yourself, and that's kind of part of the problem that I see with a lot of people is they have lied to themselves, and I don't even mean that as insultingly, but they've told themselves that they're okay so many times that they don't feel that they need to challenge themselves and then therefore pass on this challenge to other people, things that you... There's nothing that people are even like, I totally failed at that, and I would like to see my child succeed. You have to say these things to yourself, and you have to be, you know, the failure that you are if you're going to build on top of that. You know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and I also think anybody? Like, continuing education is very hard in this country. You know, I was talking to my roommate the other day who did a year abroad in Ireland, and she was talking about how, like, she just mentioned in passing how in most of her classes there, you know, you had tons of people who were retired or who were just, like, older, not students or whatever, because in all her classes, because you could just enroll for free in Ireland, right? You can just go and get college education, And, like, you can kind of do that here in the sense that lectures on anything and everything are available on YouTube. You know, you can educate yourself. But there's also a reason we send people to college and make them do classes, because you get challenged on how much you're actually learning, right? If all you do is watch YouTube videos, it's very easy to tell yourself, wow, I just learned so much. And it's like, well, did you actually? Like, here, take this test. See if you can actually pass the test and see if you actually learned anything.
Right.
You know, and so it's, I think it'd be better if we had, because people are always, like, in one sense, this is an individual thing, and I think this is mostly an individual problem. It's about, like, the choices people make. But also, like, you can't change other people's choices, right? So I generally prefer to think about, like, okay, given that people are going to make these range of choices, some good and some bad, what can we as a society do to have better outcomes, given that some people in our society are just screw-ups, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I do think that in the world of school, because that's definitely a hot button, you know, free school, everybody's just all, oh, our kids are being indoctrinated. The thing I always say, and I'm going to ask it again just in case there's that one new listener. Would it have happened to you? Would you have been so easily indoctrinated?
Right.
Were you so weak-willed that school would have turned you into this snowflake? You know, give kids a little bit of credit. But sure. So some of that changed. Yeah. But I think we should start at the beginning. I think we need to make first through five free.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's where we need to start. We don't need to start giving away college to the you know, raised garden bed that's already a little rotten. You know, we need to make sure that this new garden bed is starting out good, and then we'll work over here. You know, we'll do our best to mitigate this problem. But if we don't want to continuously mitigate the problem of dumbass 20-year-olds, we need to provide education when it matters most. And that
I agree with that. Like, definitely, I want free college and, like, free K through 8, right? You know, I want it all to be good, because I think, like, that's one of the most important things society can invest in.
Now, it does seem to be going the other way, though, with these, like, free voucher things, because...
Free vouchers?
Or the government vouchers for private schools. I was hearing on the radio, conservative talk radio, clear, what is it? They give out these free vouchers. They give out government vouchers to pay money to allow people to go to private schools in some areas and states, right? Have you heard of this?
No.
Oh.
Okay. I don't listen to conservative talk radio.
Oh, well, you haven't heard of the school choice. This is a big thing going on in the conservative community, is basically they want to be able to take the money.
I guess I'm generally aware of that. Yeah.
Okay, so, which I think is kind of weird, because the government pays for education, and they say you can have this if you want it. And now the conservatives are saying, well, we don't want that education because it's stupid. We want you to give us the money so that we can give it to a private school and have our kids educated. You would think the conservative would just say, I'll pay for that out of my own pocket, like we should have been doing all along, or something like that. But apparently that's not the belief system. The belief system is, we want
the government to fund our private schools.
Right. And so now the slip and slide of that is, how many private schools are there in small parts of the country? Not a lot.
Right. Yeah.
And so now these people want school choice, but they can get the voucher, but there's no school to go to. So now they want the government to start funding private schools.
You know, I think it's just, you know, they want everyone in Christian colleges, right? They don't want you to be indoctrinated, you know, according to, like, humanistic beliefs and, like, secular beliefs. They want them indoctrinated according to, like, theocratic beliefs. So, you know.
I don't understand.
You know, I think there's a lot to it. I think, you know.
Indoctrinated that I don't understand how people are getting indoctrinated in college?
I mean, I think the indoctrination is literally just, like, not presenting everything from a conservative perspective. Like, I think that is the definition of indoctrination.
Because, I mean, I've had teachers in class that were, like, talking about, and all these rights should be fine, and blah, blah, blah. And I've had ones that I've agreed with and ones that I disagreed with. I've had ones that I agreed with that I found incredibly annoying and that I hated. And I found ones that I disagreed with that I found very... charismatic and enjoyable. You know, it's like,
You know, I've had teachers with opinions on every side of the spectrum.
Are people so threatened by teachers by the time they hit college that they, I don't know. It's weird. I just don't get it.
I don't really get it either, but it's a whole thing, I think. Yeah. You know, a lot of people, I know people who went to college and were, like, you know, pretty conservative, and then they went to college and stopped being conservative. Like, That I think is a very common thing to happen. But, you know, I think ultimately that has less to do with, like, the classes you're taking and more just, like, you make friends who aren't in the bubble of whatever small town you came from, right?
Sure.
You know, you're making friends who are minorities. You're making friends who are, you know, across all kinds of different spectrums. And ultimately, like, you hear other stories.
You see your first black person. I'm
honestly,
not joking.
Kinda, yeah. Like, if you're, I think there were, like, three black people in my high school when I was there. You know,
I never had I was never friends with a black person until I moved down south because.
Right. Yeah.
Not because I was opposed to black people, but because I was from Reading.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
Exactly. Reading is super, super white. So.
Right. Right. I knew one or two at school, but I mean, you know, we didn't connect. We weren't friends, you know, so.
So I hated them all. Yeah, I think people love to blame, like, just Marxist professors or whatever for just what is a very normal process of leaving home and being exposed to a different world than what you've known and, like, changing your mind at a time when your mind is the most flexible and the most open to new ideas. Like, I think that's just what happens.
Yeah, it's hard to hate on somebody when you work an 8-hour shift with them and you're a pretty good team and you get the job done and you enjoy the conversation. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's hard to continue preconceived notions of the type of person, you know.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Hi friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, using only the finest dark, oily broadleaf Maduro wrappers paired with a rich blend of Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos. This is a stick on the full side. An effortless draw brings out the wonderfully layered notes of espresso, black pepper, and cedar. Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
Yeah, well, I just want to talk about space robots a little. we were talking about that in the chat earlier with Andrea. We were talking about the robots in Dubai. We talked last year about the ICE robots patrolling the border, basically. I just wanted to sort of get your take on that. What do you think?
My take on it is the same take that I have a lot of, on technology, and that is this isn't going to stop. It is going to happen. Don't put your effort into fighting, making it happen. Put your effort into making sure it happens in a way that's acceptable, because you will not stop this. This will happen.
Yeah. I agree with that, which is terrifying, because I feel like I come from it from a slightly different tack from a lot of people, which is, well, first of all, right now, these robots are not like a substitute for real police. You know, they have very limited use cases still right now because they're not very good yet.
They're basically fancy cameras.
Yeah, they are kind of just fancy cameras that move around. And, you know, they can say things like, please don't get on the grass. And you can say, I'm literally on the sidewalk. I'm not on the grass. And also, I'm a post box. You know, because their recognition software is not very good. But like, I do worry about a day when just like police and military are entirely robots, because then what need do the wealthy have for anyone else?
Yeah, but I think the obvious question to this, especially to you as a very left person, is wouldn't a robot provide a situation without the biases that humans are causing in law enforcement?
No, definitely, because robots have to be programmed by someone. You
yeah,
know,
but
how,
wouldn't
how
there be robot- more option to have no biases?
Maybe, but it, like, when you think about how is this technology going to be implemented, like, it could be implemented in any number of ways, but ultimately, the people who will design these robots are tech bros with the help of law enforcement.
Right.
You know, that's not who I want designing a better policeman, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And also just like, ultimately these robots are not going to be like controlled democratically by the people. They will be controlled by the government. And generally the government, you know, we live in a very crony capitalism situation. I think the government is just like partly powerful people in government and partly powerful people in industry. Like that's, and they kind of have a cartel over the rest of us. And you know, that sounds kind of conspiratorial. Like it is what it is. I don't think it's, you know, there's always been injustice in terms of like, no government has been perfectly fair or not corrupt, but it's,
of course. Yeah.
I just worry like, there's no elite has lasted forever, right? There always comes a point where either they get better or they just get so decadent and so corrupt and the gulf between them and the average person becomes so big that, you know, there's a revolution either violent or hopefully nonviolent, because violent revolutions are not very effective. But what they are is a last resort. Like ultimately you can do that if everything else fails, and elites are always tiny minorities, right? So if they have to rely on real people to be their security forces and all the real people hate them, eventually there comes a point where you can't maintain it any longer. And, you know, violent revolutions, like I said, are bad. So, like, what replaces that usually just as bad, but not always. Sometimes that is the break, that is the final, like, break glass in case of emergency thing you can do. And if you get into a situation where it's just kind of these tiny societies of super rich people who are guarded by unstoppable armies of robots, then that last lever of like emergency set things right, emergency justice is now removed. And so ultimately there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, I see what you're saying about the bloody thing, and bloody revolutions, and it definitely made me think of France. And so by apparently three reign of terrors, it starts to work out at that point. By your third bloody revolution in a row, it starts to.
Well, we had a violent revolution here, right?
Right, but they had reign of terror 1, 2, and 3 with beheadings in the street. France has Yeah.
And that's the way it could have gone here. It just didn't.
Right, right.
You know, that's the way it usually goes. Like, if you're doing a violent revolution, I think you have to accept there's like a 10% chance that this will make things better, right? Historically. You know, it's always better to change things through nonviolent means, but sometimes, like, I don't know that there was a nonviolent way we could have seceded from Britain, right? You know, sometimes you literally have no other option. You know, I don't know that there's a nonviolent way the French could have gotten rid of their king. The peasants were starving. They were at the end of the rope. I don't blame anyone for starting the French Revolution. They had no other choice. And it didn't work out because it usually doesn't work out, but they had no choice. That's kind of what I come down to. And if that choice is removed, then the final choice is just you die now. You know.
So when Trump was in office and they were worried about this sort of thing, they talked a lot about the what did they call them? They called them like bumpers or side rails, guardrails. Guardrails was the term that they used. That there were a lot of guardrails in place to keep this takeover from happening. And one of those guardrails, you're saying, is dissension.
Yes.
I mean, the boss telling you, go shoot that guy, and you saying, yeah, I'm not going to shoot that guy. You know, but if you're a robot, there's no saying that. So if, let's say, let's say Trump wins and Biden doesn't like that, and we have a robot military, Biden could just flip the switch and basically said, no, we're Biden land now.
Yeah. I mean, in theory.
What's that town he's from? It's got a funny name. Scranton. Yeah.
Welcome to the Empire of New Scranton. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of thing I'm worried about. And it's not that specifically, because I think, like, you know, in that example, you know, Biden does not have sole control over every military robot in the country, right? You know, he's the commander in chief, but ultimately some general or someone would be like, actually, no, we're not going to tell the robots that. Mm. Like, but I worry not necessarily about the centralization of power in one person's hand, but just like the centralization of power. Like, let's say you're in a situation where kind of the entire government agrees, yeah, this radical group is bad. Let's have the robots kill them all, right? You know, which absolutely. I don't think is, you know, the U.S. government has bombed its own people. It's assassinated civil rights leaders. It, you know, I believe it killed a bunch of people during the riots in Black Wall Street. Like, it killed Black people because it didn't want it to become like this Black uprising kind of thing. You know, the U.S. government actually doesn't have a great track record of not terrorizing and hurting its citizens. We just kind of don't hear about it. So, like,
well, I don't know.
If you make it,
you know, in order to have a track record, you know, I have a terrible track record of certain things, but if you stand me up next to the rest of society, I might be doing all right. So we do have to take into consideration the messed up things that these other people did if we're going to call it a track record.
Well, okay,
so,
but
I mean, the U.S. is messed up, like, but
I think we're better than most countries. I think we're worse than a handful of countries. You know, I think
we're probably
worse than Iceland. We're probably worse than Denmark, Sweden, whatever. You know, those countries don't have nearly as much of a track record doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, but those people are a bunch of passive snowflakes. They don't know.
Right, sure. Yeah.
But, you know, there's areas that were not as good. You know,
right. Yeah.
I'm not a believer in American exceptionalism. I like to think we're exceptional because we're a team, you know, virtual high five to the audience.
Yeah. I mean, I think
if that team falls apart, though, we're not that exceptional anymore. So we better stick together.
I mean, I think we're unquestionably exceptional in that we're the richest country on earth. I think we are the richest country on earth just because, like, we did bad stuff. Right?
But the belief system of American exceptionalism was that we're the best because we're American.
I don't believe that. I think we're the best because we killed the Native Americans and took their land. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think that is the ultimate source of our wealth, and you know, it's a pretty good source of wealth.
It
seems
well,
to have worked for us.
It absolutely was, and I think that needs to be a part of discussed history. But you know, it also doesn't make me I'm saying this more towards the audience because people need to hear that, that you're able to criticize without hating. My family, my wife and I have made terrible decisions throughout our almost 25-year relationship. We got to be honest. We made those decisions. We're still the best family that anybody in this audience has ever met or known, but still, we have to accept our failings.
Well, yeah, but also I don't think any of the bad decisions you made were probably comparable to, like, genocide. You know, I
well, I'm glad you think that. That means we hit the truth pretty well.
Got that, audience? Chauncey has not committed genocide.
Yeah. Well, I used to always tell my daughter, Harley, that if she didn't fly straight and act right, that the same thing was going to happen to her that I did to her twin sister.
Hey KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to readingcivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, features delicious deli sandwiches and burgers, like the Lucky Club, a specialty BLT, or their barbecue beef sandwich. You can also try Lucky's famous half-pound burger, peanut butter and jalapeno jelly burger, their A1 burger, or Lucky Miller's Master Burger. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order. Or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., where our food speaks for itself.
Riverfront Playhouse presents Proof by David Auber and directed by Samantha Fork, June 3rd through June 18th. Proof is the story of a young woman who has been spending the last few years caring for her brilliant but unstable father. Proof explores loss, love, genius, mental illness, fear, trust, relationships, and the breaking points we push each other to. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the store reading and at the door. Riverfront Playhouse presents Proof, June 3rd through June 18th. Sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us. People do it for freaking concert multiple times of the year. Just do it for voting. What the, I don't know. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, the people who are doing this are worth pointing out the obvious. They're not acting in good faith trying to create an election that's fair for everyone. They're trying to get the best election outcome they can for their side. You know.
Then why do people get behind this? I mean, I would never in a million years get behind the Democrats if somebody was basically saying the Democrats are doing this to sway the vote.
But
and I looked at it and said they are doing that.
Don't
get me wrong. I'm sure they are doing that. And but I'm not going to get behind them and argue about it and support it. It's and come up with other BS reasons why they're doing it. It's I feel all that stuff's going on.
I feel like people who are average really I feel like people who are really into, voter IDs and purging voter rolls have just been propaganda is effective. They've been swayed by the propaganda, and that's all there is to it, I think. You know, they don't know what they're talking about, really. That's what I'd say, and that's not unusual. There are people who don't know what they're talking about all the time. We're on talk radio. That's our whole model.
Oh, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
I hope I've made that perfectly clear. That's kind of my role on the show was about a year into our show, I decided that my role would be that I'd be the stupid normal guy. And I'd just ask all the embarrassingly stupid questions that needed to be asked because –
Yeah, that's
already that guy.
That's what it's good for, right? Yeah.
Stay in your lane, Chuck. Stay in your lane.
Yeah. Ugh. On the other hand, though, I would say, we're talking about voter IDs and all this stuff. You know who doesn't have that stuff and has never had, a big case of voter fraud?
Russia.
California, Washington. Oh. No, California, Washington. All we don't have voter IDs. We vote by mail. We have all this stuff. And our elections are secure enough that nothing bad has ever happened.
Yeah, apparently Oregon's been vote by mail for 20 years, something like that.
Well, yeah, because you know what we do is we verify by signature and we have an audit process if people think something is bad where they look at every vote and contact, any votes that are suspect. And that is plenty, I think.
You know what else they have?
What?
We were able to do it. There's a website, government website here in Oregon, and you log on to it after you voted and you can look up your number and it will tell you if your signature was verified or not. So you can double check after you send it in. And so my wife does that. We send in our votes and we make sure they're verified and we're done.
Exactly. And the ballots are issued by the state. They keep track of all the ballots they have. The movie, I think, makes a claim about, that there's this number of ballots of dead people and stuff floating around. But for one, their numbers are highly spurious. But for two, just there are processes and they take all that stuff into account and there are election workers who take a look at all that stuff once the election has happened. And if there's a problem, if people are concerned about all these states that people are concerned about have already done audits. They've already looked at all this stuff and found nothing. And I think people who believe in the big lie will take that as proof of a conspiracy, but I just don't buy a conspiracy of, 10,000, 50,000 election workers, government officials, elected officials, all of different political backgrounds all across the country. I don't think that's possible. So,
no, I don't either.
That's what it is at the end of the day.
We can't come together to, feed the homeless or build the wall. You think we're manipulating, regardless of which one of those you like, we couldn't do either of those. So you think that we're going to come together to manipulate a bunch of paperwork?
Clerical administrative
experts are going to.
And literally the way they're saying it happens involves boxes and paper. They involve fake ballots in buildings, in these nonprofits, which they don't name because they don't want to get sued. But,
right.
If they did get sued and they had an ounce of proof, they could prove their case in court. But, and that's to me is the ultimate thing is why don't you prove it in court if you have the airtight evidence you say you have? Why don't you release the evidence? Why don't you show us any footage of, if you have cameras from all over the city, why don't you show us any footage of the same person at two ballot boxes? That's their entire argument, is that is happening. They never do that. They just show us, oh, this woman is wearing gloves while touching like an object a bunch of other people have touched in winter in the middle of a pandemic. Spooky. You know, right. That's this person is taking a picture of the ballot box, which go on social media. Tons of people do because it's like a standard thing that people do during elections to post, you know, here's my ballot. I voted, or post, you know, here's my sticker. I voted. Here's the ballot box. I voted. People do that.
But they never show up for some rando to hang out by the ballot box. That's intimidating.
Yeah, but they never show us something that would be trivial for them to prove if it was real.
I mean, how are they sitting there videotaping a ballot box the whole time? That's
well,
isn't that intimidating people?
They're not videotaping it. They obtained street camera footage, which it's just like the geo-tracking data. You can just buy that if you're an NGO.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that needs to be illegal.
Well, yeah, I kind of agree, but like, you know, it's, we do have tons of just surveillance all the time that is available to the highest bidder, which is dystopian, but that's.
Yeah. Before we wrap this up, I just remembered another argument that they tend to put out towards this voter fraud thing. And that is bipartisan watchers, bipartisan observers. They want all voting to happen in a building, no mail-in voting, and they want bipartisan observers.
Mm-hmm.
For one, that doesn't seem very practical, but why bipartisan? The Democrats and the Republicans are not a part of the government unless they're elected. Those parties are, why would they be? Independent Party? What about the Green Party? What about a party that doesn't exist? I don't know. It's weird that – wouldn't you think they would try to have nonpartisan observers, not
– Well, the thing is that when they're counting the ballots, that's exactly what they do. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party, and I think third parties can do it as well, send people to observe the process.
That's ridiculous.
Well – I don't know. I don't know that it's strictly necessary, but I also don't know that it's hurting anything. Like, I don't know that it makes it harder for anyone to vote, but they do that. Now, I think having a bunch of people in MAGA hats in, you know, let's say you live in rural Kentucky, you're voting, a bunch of people in MAGA hats storm in and start touching stuff, which actually happened a bunch of times in like 2020.
Storm in and start touching stuff.
I'm being serious. Like, there were election observers in 2020, or people who were just like, we're here to observe the election, and were told, the Republican Party already sent people. You're just random people who want to, like, look at all the ballots, which obviously is illegal, right?
Right.
You know, and there were people doing that and saying, we're being suppressed. We're being suppressed because, like, we weren't allowed to do this random thing that we were doing because we have no understanding of the process.
Yeah, it's weird.
Anyway.
Okay, well, I've lost a lot of faith in humanity over these past couple of years.
That's fine.
Yeah, we need zookeepers more so. You know, I was thinking, to be fair, that we do need to have an entire show where we just talk about how shady the Democrats are, just to be fair.
Yeah, you know what? I'm down for that. Let's do that next time. I don't like the Democrats very much. I feel like the Democrats and the Republicans, it's really a choice between like corporate domination and crony capitalism, basically.
Right.
You know, it's kind of, and you know, corporate capitalism was sort of a handmaiden's tale, or like corporate domination was kind of a fascism, essentially. Fascism with a kind of handmaiden's tale theocratic bent, or rainbow-themed, you know, cyberpunk crony capitalism. Like, neither is good. I don't like either.
All right.
But, you know, I do vote Democratic because I marginally prefer it, but, like, I wish there were other parties. I do.
I do, too.
Which you know there are.
Not for the
you
same reasons, but I do wish there were other parties, that is for sure. All right. Well, you've been listening to Radio Wasteland. Did you learn something? You should probably forget it.
celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 21. 20-